Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Wolf Sports Show. The NFL playoffs are here. Wild card round should be exciting. And then tonight, also the college football playoff semifinal games. Penn State, Notre Dame tonight. And then Friday night, Texas, Ohio State before we have wild card weekend. Saturday, two games. Sunday, three games. And Monday, one game. So should be a fun stretch of playoff football. We hit on every team in last week's episode with the offseason starting for 18 teams in the NFL right now, after it worked out as expected last week in week 18 with the Broncos blowing out the Chiefs, who rested guys, but give Denver credit, took care of business in an emphatic fashion. And the Bucks were able to beat the Saints, and the Falcons ended up losing to the Panthers anyway. Great performance from Bryce Young yet again, who they got to be excited about him and build around him this offseason. But so yeah, check out last week's episode if you missed it for thoughts on the other teams that are now eliminated. We like to hit on every team here, as you know, but we'll mention some of them before we get to the playoff matchups, because we had Black Monday coaching changes going on around the league. The Patriots on Sunday, and then the Jaguars on Monday officially fired their head coaches. Jerod Mayo for New England, done after one season. Robert Kraft called it one of the hardest decisions he's ever had to make, and it seems certain, if you didn't see, Mike Vrabel changed his profile picture on X to a photo of when he was with the Patriots as a player. That happened over the weekend. He's interviewing for that job, is said to be the leading candidate, fully expecting that to come together. But we'll see. Maybe somebody like Ben Johnson, who is taking four interviews and I think is poised to finally take a head coaching job this offseason after he had opportunities the past couple of years, especially last year, he could have had a job for sure if he wanted. But maybe Johnson blows New England away, or somebody else. But looks like Vrabel there. And then the Jaguars fired head coach Doug Peterson after three seasons. And Trent Baalke, the GM, still there. Jags fans not happy at all. A bunch of clown emoji comments on their social media, YouTube page during the press conference with owner Shad Khan and Baalke. And for New England, also the front office led by Elliott Wolf is safe. Pretty shocking considering the rosters were not in a good spot. The Patriots, maybe Drake May will turn out to be a massive hit at quarterback, which that can change the fortunes of an organization. Yet aside from that, as of now, we'll give it time, but looks like it could be a disastrous offseason based on year one results. Did not look good. For Jacksonville, Khan did leave an opening for Baalke to be let go if the new head coach wants to go in another direction at GM. So I guess just keep an eye on that. And also the Raiders let go of Antonio Pierce. He said in the offseason didn't want to band-aid at quarterback, sort of what he got, with nothing against Gardner Minshew. Solid player, has had success in the league. But I think he didn't want somebody like Minshew, wanted to go in another direction. Arguably, there were some starters like Marcus Mariota that Vegas could have targeted in free agency. Ultimately, didn't work out. They played hard for Pierce, so a tough break for him. And another situation where the GM, Tom Telesco, they got Brock Bowers with their first round pick, was a somewhat of a surprise. He was there at number 13, so he might be surviving based on that. But it's kind of not good when a GM stays, a coach is gone, and it's tough to find alignment when that is the case sometimes. Somewhat of a stunner, the Giants announced on Monday that they're bringing back both head coach Brian Daboll and general manager Joe Shane. But clearly team owner John Mara expects them to be good quick. Just a bit surprising given their past valuations, including last year's draft class, and not even considering Bo Nix at number six or a chance to trade back for him, trade back up for him, and get Malik Nabers as well, who looks like a potential star. But yeah, they get to choose the quarterback, key decision, and ownership expects them to turn things around quickly as they get a fourth year there. Hit harder were the assistant coaches. I was very surprised to see Lou Anarumo was let go, longtime defensive coordinator of the Bengals. Has had a big hand in their success over the years. They're going another direction. I'm sure he's not going to have trouble at all getting a new job as a DC. Colts fired Gus Bradley as their defensive coordinator. Seahawks fired offensive coordinator Ryan Grubb after 1 year with Mike McDonald. And the Browns looking for a new OC after moving on from Ken Dorsey after 1 year. Just one more thing on the coaches. According to NFL Network's Tom Pelissero, teams are now interested in Bill Belichick, who was hired by North Carolina just weeks ago. And most notably, According to Pelissero, Belichick and Tom Brady, a minority owner of the Raiders, have been talking frequently recently. And of course, Brady knows that Belichick understands what it takes to build a winning culture and organization and sustain that. It makes a ton of sense. And it'll probably take someone like Brady, who is comfortable with himself, not worried about Belichick taking over or whatever. And it's sadly going to take something like that for Belichick, who's suddenly an outsider in the NFL, with teams perhaps intimidated by him, getting back in the league if he wants to do that. Moving to the wildcard round on Saturday begins, 4:30 Eastern time, Chargers-Texans. LA, a 2.5-point road favorite. Somewhat quietly, for some reason, the offense has been on fire. Point totals of 34, 40, and 34 over the final three games. The last two matchups were against the Raiders and Patriots, but still, Justin Herbert playing at a very high level. And the defense, number one scoring defense this season. And they earned the number one wildcard spot in the AFC. Get a chance to face what is widely considered the worst divisional winner, certainly in the AFC. For Houston, CJ Stroud appeared briefly in Week 18, and went over the Titans, led a quick touchdown drive. So at least they ended the regular season on a victory, got to 10 wins, 10-7. Still, I feel like the LA pass rush and defense can make things difficult on an offense that struggled for a while now. And for Houston to get the home win, they were home underdogs last postseason against Cleveland. They won that game, though. For them to do it again, repeat performance, we need that front, Will Anderson Jr., Danielle Hunter, to really step up, get after Herbert. And I think keeping this a low-scoring game, maybe force a turnover or two, is a path to victory for Houston, but that's not going to be easy with the way Herbert has taken care of the ball all year and the way Jim Harbaugh has coached that team there. On Saturday night, Steelers-Ravens, we've seen this rivalry a ton, obviously over the years in the AFC North, so can't ask much better than this as a wildcard game. Pittsburgh's lost four straight games after a 10-3 start. We're in the mix for the number one seed in the AFC for a while, and then the four straight loss is now 10-7. Based on the insights from Hard Knocks, at least, they know they're not going to win if they turn the ball over, and they themselves need to force turnovers, make plays. And I think it'll help them that in the previous matchup against the Steelers back in Week 16, Wilson had a couple of big turnovers, the pick six and the fumble in scoring territory on his way to the goal line. Certainly the turning points in that game in securing a 17-point win for Baltimore. In last week's loss to the Bengals, who credit them, they won five straight games. Didn't mention that at the top aside from the Anna Rima news, but won five straight games, got to 9-8 and gave themselves a shot in Week 18. But the loss for the Steelers last week to them, the connection between Wilson and George Pickens was way off. Pickens, he needs to be totally locked in this week facing a Ravens defense that's been much better in the second half of the year. It's stout against the run. But before that Week 16 win for Baltimore, they lost four straight in the series to Pittsburgh. Steelers have had their success against Lamar Jackson in the past. Jackson says he's been too antsy in the past in the playoffs, which it's good to know he realizes that. And it's been evident just watching him in the playoffs. He's looked like a different player. It's clear just on his body language how he was pressing at times. So if he's past that, the Ravens can certainly go on a run. But not an easy first matchup, and degree of difficulty increases with Zay Flowers out with a knee injury for the Ravens. Could be the difference and makes them a little easier to defend. Still very difficult with all those weapons. And now they have Derrick Henry at running back. Maybe the most unstoppable player at this time of year. Ravens are the biggest favorites of the week as the odds currently stand, but I think we should see a close one again with Flowers out for Baltimore. Moving to Sunday, Broncos-Bills. Mentioned how Denver took care of business to get in last week. And now I actually think they match up pretty well with Buffalo. I think really any team in the AFC they could beat, except for maybe the Ravens. I don't think they're there yet roster-wise. We're blown out by them already this year. But yeah, they beat the Bills last season, and they're very confident behind rookie quarterback Bo Nix. The defense, 63 sacks, led the NFL. Bills haven't given up sacks. Josh Allen avoids sacks. Still, if they can create some longer situations on second down, third down, get off the field, control the ball a little bit, keep it away from Buffalo, they'll need to get the run game going more, which they haven't done consistently this season. But Audric Estime, maybe somebody, rookie running back for playoff football, just churn forward for positive yardage. and help keep Denver ahead of the sticks. That said, playoff Josh Allen is one of the, maybe aside from Brady, the best playoff performer of all time, with how well he's played over the years in the postseason, despite at times the Bills defense not being able to get stops. And that's really the key for the Bills, stops in key situations, especially when they end up facing, if they do advance, which I think this week could be close, but if they do advance and face maybe the Ravens, the Chiefs eventually, in key situations, they need to get off the field, which has been a struggle at times against the best teams in the league. But these two quarterbacks, Nixon and Allen, both going to make plays and do what they need to do with their legs if necessary. Bills head coach Sean McDermott, he had a lot of praise for Nix, said he's the real deal, and not like Bills players too are saying he's not a typical rookie quarterback, which he's proven the case. 34 total touchdowns this season, third most ever for rookie in NFL history, behind just Justin Herbert, Cam Newton. And maybe the environment in Buffalo is too much, going to be loud, rowdy. Facing rookie quarterback, McDermott's had a lot of success against rookies in his career, but should be fun and could certainly be a close game. Then at 4:30 Eastern on Sunday, Packers-Eagles. This is a playoff rematch of the Week 1 game, which kicked off the season for the NFC, the Friday night game in Brazil, after the Chiefs beat the Ravens in the season opener. Both quarterbacks banged up a bit. Jordan Love dealing with a hand issue. He should be fine, though. But the Packers lost Christian Watson at receiver, torn ACL last week against the Bears in a stunning loss for Green Bay. Ended their winning streak of 11 games over Chicago. But losing Watson, that's a tough blow and really unfortunate. So look for them to play a ton through Josh Jacobs. That said, the Eagles front with Jordan Davis in the middle and Jalen Carter, both against the run and rushing the passer. The linebackers, N'Kobe Dean, Zach Bond, safeties will both come up. Going to be a challenge for the Packers at Philadelphia, where the Eagles have just one loss this season. They're 12-1 since their bye week is Philadelphia. Meanwhile, Packers a bit more consistent, mentioned the loss last week, have lost to top teams, including the Eagles, the Vikings twice, the Lions twice. I said about playing through Josh Jacobs, but I think the Packers, they need a lot from Jordan Love here, who has a chance. He's getting paid a ton as one of the top quarterbacks in the league in terms of salary. It'd be huge for him to be able to get a win at Philadelphia, tough spot, and get the Packers to move on and see if they can maybe go on a run. And then Sunday night should be entertaining. Somewhat surprised it's the Sunday night game, but two exciting offenses, Commanders, Bucks. This was another Week 1 matchup. Commanders, also another team somewhat quietly, has won 5 straight games. It was actually Marcus Mariota who led the win last week, came in for Jayden Daniels, just played the first half despite the seeding being on the line. Tampa handled the season opening matchup, but Jayden Daniels did a lot of damage as a runner. Really anxious to see how Todd Bowles plays him, with how aggressive Bowles can be. But if this turns into a shootout, Bucks would have to feel pretty good with the way Baker Mayfield's been throwing the ball around this year. Only concern with him is the turnovers, but they have a loaded offense with Bucky Irving, rookie running back, Rashad White, pretty much behind him now, but that duo. Mike Evans at receiver had his 11th straight 1,000-yard campaign capped last week. Jalen McMillan's come on extremely strong, rookie receiver out of Washington. And it's been a little hit or miss at times, but we've seen the pinpoint accuracy Daniels has on the deep throws. If Bowles is coming after me, he might need to hit some to Terry McLaurin. Olamide Zaccheaus has stepped up huge late in the season. And I expect Tampa to also, they know how to stuff the run when they need to under Bowles. Vita Vea in the middle, Levante David, veteran, he's going to make plays and diagnose things. It's really key for all games in the NFL, especially in the playoffs when things tighten up, taking care of the ball. I mentioned it for Mayfield, but the Commanders as well, if they turn it over, might have trouble on Sunday night. And we have some breaking news. I talked about the Raiders early in the show, moving on from Antonio Pierce, and looks like they are now a bit of a surprise coming with a delay. The fired GM Tom Telesco mentioned the Bowers draft pick. Reporters are already giving a lot of praise for that and saying, basically indicating Telesco shouldn't have been fired. But I think it's about finding alignment there in Vegas with the new head coach and GM coming in at the same time. And Tom Brady, rightfully so, with the success he's had and his knowledge, I think he probably has a lot to do with what's going on in Vegas right now. Officially a part owner toward the end of last year, and he's going to bring in guys he thinks going to help the Raiders become a total winner. And now back to the wild card games. Just one more game Monday night. Vikings-Rams rematch from a TNF matchup earlier this season. A close game ended with a controversial no call on a face mask of Sam Darnold. plenty of potential for offensive fireworks here too, with those weapons on both teams. The game's scheduled to be in LA right now, but unfortunately, Los Angeles is in a very sad spot with all the fires raging there. I'm sure you've seen it. So many homes just totally destroyed. So everyone there is in my prayers, and really shocking what's going on and how it's been unable to be contained. I would think they're saying it's a contingency plan. I would think there's a decent chance the game is moved to Arizona. So that's something to keep in mind for the Rams. Affects them, takes away the home advantage a little bit to have to go on the road. Regardless, it's going to be in a dome. Could be a lot of points again between these two loaded offenses. Keep in mind that teams, after they face the Lions, I mean, Minnesota was pretty beat up by Detroit last Sunday night in game 272. Big win for the Lions. So after that, it can cause a bit of a hangover. At least they had the extra day playing on Monday now, which is a good move by the NFL to do that after they played Sunday night. And a 5 seed at 14-3 is tough luck. Vikings defense, they always forced turnovers. I believe every game this season they might have forced at least one turnover. Expect Brian Flores to bring the heat and try to make things happen. Kevin O'Connell has done an outstanding job. I remember from that Thursday game, he had the offense moving for much of that game, moving seamlessly down the field. Rams, they lost to the Seahawks last week, but were resting guys. But since that slow start to the year, remember, it was on that Thursday game, that win over the Vikings was huge. There was talk about trading Cooper Kupp, maybe, and it sounded realistic, almost likely to happen, if they would have lost that game. But things turned around since then, and they're a dangerous team. Again, rested guys last week, so they dropped to the 4 seed. But I think things could set up nicely for them, where they landed seeding-wise. If they could beat the Vikings, they'll, if it's chalk with the Bucks and Eagles, while the Rams face a Lions team they lost two really close games to last year in the postseason and then week one this year. So they'll be confident that they can play the number one seed very tough. And the Lions are so beat up defensively, which wasn't the case in the first two matchups. And then if you think about it, Bucks, Eagles, Tampa Bay, they've had Philly's number. They get a win there, then the Rams are going to the, if the Rams can advance past this week and then pass the Lions and it plays out, Eagles, Bucks with a Bucks win. Rams will go to Tampa Bay, warm weather, not a hugely intimidating home field advantage for the Bucks. They already beat them in the playoffs a few years ago when Tom Brady was there. And what I should add was not a well-officiated game at all, in my opinion, in favor of the Rams. But yeah, just interesting, something to think about, how the seeding might end up working out. And we got to play these games, see what happens. But and as for my Super Bowl pick, preseason, it was Chiefs over Lions. I'm very tempted to go with Buffalo. But I think this week against the Broncos could be tough. I think the Bills will win, but I think it could be tough. Could certainly get knocked off. And the likely divisional round matchup against the Ravens, especially if they have Zay Flowers. But even if they don't, Baltimore, they got 9 Pro Bowlers, Derrick Henry. I think a stronger roster overall. Remember, a lot of people said that the Bills were going to take a step back after all their roster overhaul. So I'm tempted to go with the Bills if they, especially if they can avoid Baltimore. I think they could beat the Ravens, especially at home. Could be challenging. And then the Ravens themselves, I think they could certainly get to the Super Bowl as well, especially with Henry in the mix now. But the Steelers, that's not going to be easy this weekend. So overall, they're both playing this week and get upset, have to potentially play each other in the divisional round. Meanwhile, Chiefs are sitting at home. They've done it before. Things seem to break their way this time of year. I'm going to go with them in the AFC. In the NFC, I think the Eagles, similar to Baltimore, that roster so good and they have as much upside as anyone. Their matchups could be tough. Again, Tampa Bay in the second round, that could be a challenge based on the history. But I just like what the Lions have going. Tempted to pick the Eagles, but Detroit just overcoming the odds. They have a magical season going, apparently. So I'll stick with my preseason pick of Chiefs-Lions in the big game. And I planned on going with KC, sticking with my original pick. But you know what? I'm going to say Aiden Hutchinson comes back for the Lions. They get a bit healthier on defense. They have David Montgomery coming back in the divisional round. The offense lit up the scoreboard. The defense, so aggressive with Aaron Glenn as the defensive coordinator and performing at a high level no matter who's been in there. For the most part, they perform at a high level anyway. I'll say Dan Campbell squad. Jared Goff gets a Super Bowl victory. A fantastic stretch for Brad Holmes as the general manager there and building this roster. I'll switch it up and say Lions beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl and stop Kansas City's quest for a three-peat in the big game. But it looks like a fun playoffs coming up for sure. I think all these wildcard games should be good. Plenty of teams, I think, can go on a championship run and win it all, which isn't the case every year, but I think it's more wide open. Of course, I am just picking the one seeds in each conference, but still. And maybe it just ends with the Chiefs winning again and three-peating, which I know a lot of people would not like. But I'm excited to see it all play out. We'll talk about the divisional round next week. So enjoy all these games. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back next Thursday.